everyone, and welcome to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 176. This is a show about all things Linux, hardware, software, whatever tickles our Linux fancy. And by we, I mean myself, Cody Cooper, a.k.a. Supercoop, a.k.a. The Ice Machine, a.k.a. Wicked Bedsheet. Ooh, I haven't thrown that one out there yet. That's old school for me. You have no idea. And I'll just to make Matthew Williams a little bit on edge, I'll tell that story the next show. And the other half of the we is my good friend, the Door to Door Geek, a.k.a. Steve McLaughlin. How's it going, Door?
It's going pretty good, Supercoop. Happy. It looks like we're finally out of winter here in Balmar, so I can actually, you know, not have to worry about walking into work and having my soaks completely soaked from walking through sloshy snow and stuff.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, whenever I see the photos of the snow, I'm envious for about half a second, but then I realize, oh, I don't know what I would do. I would just get a big blanket and crawl up in the fetal position on my living room floor and just rock back and forth. It sounds like a good time.
Fantastic.
To get some rest. But in addition to the two of us, we also have a guest to the show, a repeat guest, a good friend of the show, Kevin O'Brien. How's it going today, Kevin?
Oh, it's going just wonderfully.
Good. Now, Kevin, for those of you, our listeners who do not know you, will you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a project manager, and I work for the Ford Motor Company, specifically Ford Credit. And I just started that job beginning of March, so it's a brand new one for me. In addition to that, I record for Hacker Public Radio. I write, I give presentations, and let's see, I first came on this show when I was doing publicity for Ohio Linux Fest, and now I'm in charge of the tech track for PenguinCon.
Very good. Now, PenguinCon, we're going to get quite into that here.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a conference in what part of the country again? I'm sorry.
It's in the suburb of Detroit.
Right.
Southfield, yeah, Michigan.
Okay. Now, I was was it last year that you had Cory Doctorow there as a keynote speaker?
Yes, last year we had Cory Doctorow there.
Yes. Yeah, I remember reading about that. So and. Okay, I'm just going to let you give us a brief kind of a summary mm-hmm. of this conference, because it's two worlds of mine. It's kind of together, so but by all yeah. means, I want to hear it in your words.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, I think, pretty much a unique kind of event, because it is a cross of a science fiction convention with a Linux Fest. So that's where the Penguin part comes from, and PenguinCon is the Linux and open source software component. It's been around for a number of years, and one of the people who helped get it started and is still involved to some degree every year is Eric Raymond, who you may know from yep. the Cathedral and the Bazaar and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eric S. Raymond, right?
Yep, Eric S. Yeah. Raymond.
Yep.
And he always participates every year in the event. The keynote speaker this year is Bruce Schneier, the security guru.
Very cool.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, so he's coming in Friday night. He's got a new book called Data and Goliath, and so we've ordered a bunch of copies from the publisher, and they're going to be for sale, and he'll sign them, and he's going to give a keynote talk. So I think that's something that's very exciting. The nature of this convention is that there's so many things going on. So, Dora, I know you were at Ohio Linux Fest last year. Do you remember Ruth Seeley, who was one of the keynote speakers there?
Yes, I do.
Right. And, well, I've got Ruth as a panelist, but she's also doing several things with the costume track, because I happen to follow Ruth on social media, Facebook, Google+, things like that, and she's really big on costuming. So, you know, this is the kind of event where she can do both of those things in one place. So that's one of the things that makes this different. And then we have science fiction authors, and we've got gaming and lifestyle, science. So we'll be talking about astronomy, and Bob Tremblay is probably going to be bringing in a telescope and arranging some viewing. Got a music track. So there's all kinds of stuff going on.
To me, that sounds awesome. It's almost a natural join there, because as far as I'm concerned, most people who are into computers, even semi-advanced, appreciate to some degree sci-fi. And it does seem like the more dedicated the computer person, the more dedicated they are into science and science fiction.
Yeah, I think you're very correct in that. There's a big overlap between those interests. So we attracted last year about 1,400 people. I think we can beat that this year. So it's a pretty big event. And for the it takes place from Friday evening through to, well, late Sunday afternoon, almost Sunday evening. And in that time, there is just so much stuff going on. I think there's something like 350 hours worth of programming.
Wow. And what are the dates for this year?
April 24th through 26th.
That apparently is a very busy weekend this year, because there is Kansas Linux Fest, there is PenguinCon, there is Northwest Linux Fest, and there's Steve Tribino in Tampa, Florida, the Florida Podcasters conference thing. So there's four things going on this weekend. I've already dedicated myself for Linux Fest Northwest, Kevin. I will tell you this. Now, after going to Linux Fest Northwest, they are dropping back to the back of the line. So next year, the odds have increased exponentially that I will be going to PenguinCon instead.
I could arrange to have you as a speaker.
I already bought the plane tickets for Northwest Linux Fest.
No, I mean for next year.
Oh, awesome. Okay. I just got to think about what to talk about.
I'm the guy that books the speakers.
Oh, well, then. So, bada bing.
Well, in that case, I don't know if I'll be able to make it either. I'm busy with something else, unless I'm tempted. See how he's quiet now?
Yes, he
is. No, I'm actually holding out for my keynote speaker spot in 2018 to have my PenguinCon debut. So I'm working on my resume to make that a possibility.
Yeah, don't call us.
That's perfect.
All right, I don't choose the keynote speakers. That's sort of like with Ohio Linux Fest, that was a similar kind of thing, that you might be arranging all of the usual run of talks, but someone else handled the keynote speakers. The same thing here. It's usually the chair of the convention who chooses the keynote speakers. We do have a theme this year, and I think it's kind of interesting, is that we're taking a look at the intersection of technology with medicine, and we're exploring that in several ways. One of the ones that we're really happy about is we're partnering with a group that's called Enabling the Future, and this is all about 3D printing of prosthetic hands. Some of you may have seen there was a kind of a viral video recently of Robert Downey Jr. with a young boy who was born without most of an arm.
Yes.
And Robert Downey Jr. is, of course, Iron Man, and so came and basically gave this boy a prosthetic arm. That's becoming a really big thing. So Enabling the Future does this. We're going to have them on site. And we are going to be using 3D printers, and we're going to be showing people how to print hands that, can then be distributed to children who need them. So that's a big part of what we're going to be involved in. We've got someone coming in to do a talk on biohacking. We have a scientist from the University of Michigan who I saw recently at another convention, Dr. Cynthia Chestak, who is an engineer who is on the faculty of the medical school and is very involved in implanted devices. So that's kind of, every year we try and have kind of a theme that we're going to make sure we have some talks built around that. But the tech track as a whole, I have about 100 hours. So to put that in perspective, that's two Linux Fests. That's two Literally. Ohio Linux Fests.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And I'll say, I got no problem claiming my manhood, but when I saw that video of the guy asking the little kid, do you know who that is? And the kid, like, you know, scrunched up a little bit and said, yeah, it's Iron Man. Boom. Yeah. Right. I was no good.
Yeah.
I was no good. Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. Now I respect a whole hell of a lot more, and I will purposely spend money on his products just because of that kind of thing that he does. That is really spectacular.
Right.
Yeah, when you think about 3D printing in this space, I think of two things. One, the prosthetics, and of which we've seen many, and even just in the past, you know, 18 months, I mean, they've gone from, you know, almost like shoestring or like a coiled wiring, you know, for a lot of the, you know, tension to some really sophisticated pieces.
Right.
And some of those are made for like less than $40 in parts versus there's a classic video. I'll try to find the link and put it in the show notes, but this guy had an actual prosthetic that was mechanical. It cost like $67,000. And then he was fitted with this $45 piece, and it gave him much more mobility, more strength, you know, and obviously it was a tad cheaper. So, yes, that and then the advances in getting 3D models of internal organs to prep for surgery is huge. So to see that, to see medical and tech be a focus of this fest, I got really excited. And once you immediately start talking about the prosthetics, I mean, it's a fantastic field to be thinking about, and the fact that it's still kind of in its infancy, and what they've been able to accomplish so far, it's really quite remarkable.
Yeah. I've always said that, you know, over the last 30 years, the computer revolution was sort of the big driver of technology. But I think what we're going to start seeing now is that advances in biology, medicine, healthcare is going to be the big story of the next 30 or 40 years. And obviously, the computer technology plays into that in some very interesting ways, such as the 3D printing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can only advance so far before we have to start thinking more advanced in the way is that we use it and how if it's creative or what have you. So yeah, I agree with you there.
Oh yeah, even little things. For instance, I'm diabetic, and so I have to test my blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an application running on my Android phone that allows me to record all my blood sugar measurements. And then I can export that as an XML file that I can upload to my Google Drive and then send to my doctor electronically. And, you know, just a small thing like that. But, you know, there was a point where I thought my medication levels weren't quite right because I didn't like the numbers I was getting. I was able to upload, here's the last 30 days of my blood sugar measurements, and upload it to my doctor, and later that day get an answer back. They'd looked at it, said, yeah, here's what we're going to do. We adjusted my medication. You know, that's a good thing.
Very.
That is selling you and selling that physician back their time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Think about absolutely. It. Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, Kevin, but if I have to book an appointment with my doctor, sometimes it's 4 or 6 weeks out, and then you're talking limited time there, you know?
Yeah.
So, yes, very, very cool.
And I can book my appointments online through a portal. I can get my medication refills online through a portal and, you know, send them a message and all of that kind of stuff. So technology is enabling some really good stuff in medicine, I have to say.
Very good.
Let me give you some of the other, just to give you a sense of some of the stuff we're taking a look at. First of all, we get some little historical stuff. If you remember the Sinclair computers from 30 years ago, the 1980s. So we've got someone who's going to be doing a talk about that. We're doing an introduction to Docker, Bash scripting, Python. Oh, here's a good one, building the great beast of Malvern, as it's called. And that actually has to do with Eric Raymond. For those of you who maybe not be as familiar with Mr. Raymond, he's a software developer. And so apparently he needed a new computer. So several people got together and built him a very powerful computer. So they're going to do a talk about how they built his computer. So I think that's going to be an interesting one. Then we're here's one that I actually was very happy to get. I have someone from Microsoft who is joining us and is going to do a talk. And the talk is Microsoft plus open source plus cloud equals Azure. So she first approached me and said, you know, well, you know, would you consider having someone from Microsoft? And I said, absolutely, I'd consider that because, in fact, I think they've become a lot more friendly to open source, and I'd like to hear what you have to say. I've got a developer from the MariaDB project coming. He's actually flying in, I think, from New Zealand or Singapore, someplace out in Asia.
Wow.
And he is he's going to be doing a talk on MariaDB. But I'm also going to get George Castro from Canonical. And the two of them are going to do something about how MariaDB and Canonical's cloud stuff works together.
Interesting.
Which I think is going to make a really interesting panel putting that together. Let's see, running through some of this. Continuous delivery, software configuration and deployment. Contributing to OSS, navigating the community. And we're going to have a fellow from Apache who is doing that, and we're also adding a friend of mine who works for the GNOME project. So the two of them are going to be doing a panel. We're going to be doing a crypto party that's going to be take more for newcomers. You know, people like you and Dore would probably already know most of this stuff. But it's going to show people how they can encrypt, you know, using GPG, their email and things like that. And we invite people to bring a laptop and do some hands-on stuff.
So like some key signing and getting familiar with software and the encryption.
Right. Well, that we have a separate key signing party.
Very nice.
Yeah. Designing industrial control systems to resist cyber attack. Let's see, Droid TK, you know, if you're familiar with Tickle TK, a friend of mine is big on Tickle TK, and now you can do it on a Droid phone or tablet.
That's awesome.
Firewalls with pfSense.
Very cool.
Yeah. Then we've got I don't know if you're familiar with Free Geek. I think there are chapters of Free Geek all over the country.
Yes, yeah, we have one just north of me in Portland.
Right. So we have one, and it's called Motor City Free Geek. And so they're going to be here talking about the stuff they do, recycling computers and reducing electronic waste.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to moderate a panel on getting involved in the open source community. And I'm going to have Ruth Seeley and Tom Calloway from Red Hat on that panel. Emily Gagner from the GNOME project is going to be on that panel. And so we're just going to talk about how some of the things you can do to get involved in open source. And as you and Dore know, that's something I've spoken about and written about frequently over the years.
That sounds like a wonderful talk, because I think that too many people think that they have to have a large technical background or wide understanding of a particular topic to contribute at all, whereas there are many ways to sort of get your foot in the door and actually contribute that they may not know about or have considered.
Yeah, absolutely. Got several sessions with things like BeagleBone, Arduino, and Raspberry Pi, you know, all of which are very popular.
You don't have to tell Dore twice.
Yes, that was pretty much the whole last issue of Linux for the Rest of Us was about miniature computers.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a friend of mine, Getting Things Done Under Linux, using the GTD methodology.
Oh, wow. That'd be great.
Yeah. Something on the Invisible Internet Project, I2P, Introduction to ZenOS, Introduction to Kanban Boards, and Introduction to Machine Learning with Python, thing on IPv6, a talk about Juju, which is the cloud management system that Canonical has put together.
That's why it sounded familiar. Yep.
And I mentioned the Bruce Schneier keynote. There's also one by Errol Balkin. talking about corporate surveillance and free software. We've got a panel on leading FLOSS projects. We've got a couple of live podcast recordings. One of them is IT in the D, which is a Detroit podcast. And then, of course, our friends, the Sunday Morning Linux Review. And they always do record a live podcast there on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. But this year, all three of the hosts are also speakers. So Tony's doing one on home networking with Linux. Mary, who you probably know is big on KE, is going to be doing something called Swimming with Dolphin. Dolphin being the file manager for KDE.
Very cool.
But Matt really takes the prize. He is doing three talks. And one is an introduction to Bash. The second one is Bash scripting. And the third one is regex.
Hmm. Well, if you guys haven't listened to that show before, Sunday Morning Linux Review, it's smlr.us. And I got to say, I love everything that Tony and Mary do. And I wish them both the best of luck at PegaCon. Kevin, I don't know if you know this, but I have an imaginary rivalry with Matt Enders, and I just dig at him whenever I can. He's my nemesis, but not really. I just perpetuate it when I can, and then there, that's another spin of that ball, and it's now going again, and yeah, mm-hmm. We're good.
And we're gonna do some notes from the DHS Industrial Control Systems Cybersecurity.
So
Department of Homeland Security is starting mm-hmm. to pay attention to some of this. We're going to be talking about that. Panel on OpenBSD. We're going to do a packathon. Actually, this is a two-parter. First is a workshop on how to do packaging for Red Hat using RPM, and then follow that with a packathon where they'll actually put some packages together. Securing back office business processes with OpenVPN. Tickle on Raspberry Pi. Teaching open source in schools. Test-driven development to write less code. The Electric Library, libraries in the 21st century. The IT Road Warrior. The Security Onion. The State of Fedora. I got Tom Calloway from Red Hat doing that one.
Kevin, you're going to have to stop soon. I'm going to have to cancel my plans to just come over to this. You're getting me way too enticed here.
Yeah, I'm still not done. Tips and tricks using ASP MVC 5.
ASP?
Yeah.
Okay. Then it must not be the ASP I'm thinking of. Maybe.
Yeah. We don't say that everything has to be open source. Just the vast majority of it is.
Well, and I'll say this. I will support whatever conference I know you are involved in because, and it isn't that other conferences go out of their way to exclude other stuff, but I know you actively insist, you know, this is a conference for people, about people and technologies. Mm-hmm. Our main focus is this, but other stuff is more than welcome to come aboard. You always gave me the impression of, you'll give anybody a podium to stand on as long as they have something worth talking about.
Oh, absolutely. I even went so far as to tell Richard Hughes he could do a talk if he wanted to.
You are a bold man, sir.
Let's see. We got to talk about Tor, troubleshooting in tech, health, and beyond, an Ubuntu release party, understanding and protecting your privacy online, virtual reality headset demo from Gameface Labs, a panel on weaponized malware, what's new in KDE 5, we've got a Women in STEM meetup, and I haven't mentioned every single thing in the tech track, so.
Right, yeah, you said over 100 hours kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll ask you this. Previously, when I've seen you at conferences, someone would ask you, well, what talk are you looking forward to listening? And the answer was always the same, none, because I don't have the time to. I'm doing all this other stuff. So my question is, are you going to have time to actually enjoy any part of this conference?
Actually, I will. Now, the problem that I'm going to have is that with all of the talks we have, and you look at how many hours there are in a day, I have at most blocks, you know, 1 hour block, I have probably got at least five things happening simultaneously. So my problem is going to be I'm going to have to choose which thing do I want to do. You know, some of them, I'm just not going to get to all of them. We had that complaint last year that people were saying, hey, there's two things I want to see that are on at the same time. Well, this year, the complaint's going to be there's three things I want to see that are on at the same time.
Exactly.
And, you know, as a programmer, it's like that's the problem I would love to have. The other problem we had last year was people saying the rooms were too crowded.
Another great problem.
Another great problem to have. And I hope I have both of those problems again this year.
Absolutely. And I'll say this. Bruce Schneider alone is enough reason to sit down and listen for a while. But is there anybody else that you're looking through and you're seeing and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I want to listen to that?
Yeah. I think there are several of them. I am particularly interested in some of the security ones. So I'm probably going to try and get to the pfSense and the Tor. Those are a couple. I may get to the key signing party if I'm lucky. So those are a couple of the things I really want to make sure I get to. I'm going to take a look at some of the other tracks because there are years at PenguinCon where despite the vast variety of things, by the end of the weekend, it's like every single track I went to was tech. And I didn't see any of the science fiction stuff. And there's an interesting panel about Neil Stephenson's metaverse and how much of this stuff is actually becoming nonfiction, so to speak. It's becoming the reality. That looks very interesting. I think I'd like to go take that in. Other than that, I'm probably just going to be, you know, taking a look at the program and just circling the ones that I'm most interested in and seeing how many I can get to. But the nice thing is, unlike when I was doing at Ohio Linux Fest, I don't have a lot that I have to do the weekend of the event. So I really am most of my work has been over the last 6 months, talking to people, soliciting talks, putting panels together, things like that. So, and last weekend we basically put the schedule together, and so now I can pretty much relax.
Very nice. Always good to kick up your feet and have the majority of the work out of the way, and then just kind of, you know, just let it happen. And would you please remind us of the dates?
Yes, it is April 24th through the 26th. PenguinCon is always either the last weekend in April or the first weekend in May.
Okay.
And I think they take a look at some of the local events like Nauticon and say, you know, let's figure out how we can avoid a conflict that way. But, you know, as Dora said, there's stuff going on all over the country. And, you know, at a certain point, you just have to accept that, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, I'm glad that we have Linux Fest Northwest. I'm really glad that 5150 is doing something in Kansas that hasn't had anything for a while. That's great. Maybe if Lord D gets better, he may be in a position in a few years to resurrect Indiana Linux Fest, which would be wonderful. You know, I think it's great for open source that we have as many of these events as possible and have a chance to expose people to what open source software can do. And as I said earlier, I love the fact that I can have someone from Microsoft come and talk about Microsoft's involvement with open source. And, you know, if you follow what's been going on, they've been doing some very significant things with open source. I think there's a real change since Satya Nadella took over as CEO. I think he's changed the direction of that company in some fairly significant ways. And, you know, I mean, they're still a proprietary software company, don't get me wrong, but I don't think they're the evil empire anymore.
Well, we have plenty of other companies, I think, striving to be that. I would really, to be honest, the thing I would love to hear a talk on from an official Microsofty and not a press release type talk is just about their .NET Core release into the open realm.
Sure. Well,
that'd be good.
Maybe we can get one of those for next year. Now that I have a contact at Microsoft, maybe I could say, hey, how about we do something like that for next year? I think that is an interesting story that they've open sourced that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can happen because of it, and I'm really interested to see how far people will take it.
Yeah. We've only have two Linux distributions that are officially represented here, and that would be Fedora/Red Hat and Canonical. So we've got, by my count, at least four Canonical employees that live in this area. So that's always been an easy get for us. And I've got two of them speaking at PenguinCon. And then Tom Calloway and Ruth Seeley from Red Hat have been coming to PenguinCon for a while. And I had them as speakers last year and went after them again this year. And I intend to continue going after them. Then we had an interesting thing a few weeks ago on Facebook. A journalist posted something about who is the best keynote speaker in open source. And I responded. I said, Mad Dog, end of story.
Yep.
And then Zonker Brockmeyer posted under that, I am really hurt that you would say that. So I started teasing him and saying, you're not speaking for me at PenguinCon. He said, well, I spoke there a few years ago. I said, yeah, but that wasn't for me. So
twist the knife a little bit.
Well, the number of people I know at Red Hat is slowly going up. So I know Zonker, Ruth, Tom, Ricky Ensley just started at Red Hat recently. And Ricky's someone that I only know through email, but she used to be at Linux New Media and was one of the people that I dealt with when I was doing publicity for Ohio Linux Fest. So, that's good. I would love to get someone from SUSE or some of the other distros involved. So that's one of the things I'm going to try and work on over the coming year is see, can I line up one or two other distros just to come and show off what they're doing. Slackware is actually, Patrick Volkerding, I believe, is located here in Michigan. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that would be a natural. Maybe I can talk him into coming and doing a talk. I don't know how busy he is, but someone I'd like to get after.
One thing I was trying to get to earlier, but I forgot. You were saying, obviously, a good problem to have with having, multiple talks happening at the same time.
Yeah.
If you haven't addressed this already, I forgot. I apologize. I dropped out for a moment there. But what kind of recording capabilities do you have there in order to record these talks and then release them later?
Yeah. That is something that we have not been doing, although I would like to see that change. I think we may have a few of the keynote talks, but we don't have the cover-to-cover recording like Ohio Linux Fest does.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, at least you're working toward it. Yeah. Anyway, you can do that because obviously if they can listen to the talks and see what kind of, talent you have there, then that's going to potentially increase your attendance year next and then in the future.
Yeah, and I know that we are starting to attract attention just from a few of the people I've talked to and the fact that I'm starting to get people come to me from some of these technology companies and say, hey, we've got someone doing Zenos, and the Zenos people contacted us and said, we'd like to send one of our people to go give a talk. I was like, okay, I can do that. And the way this works, I suspect, is that you build a kind of a momentum. You start programming a lot of good stuff, word starts to get around, and then people want to be involved. And so You know, last year I had about 66 hours of tech programming. This year I've got about 100. That's probably the limit, but I'm telling you, I have turned down a bunch of stuff.
That's another great problem to have.
Yeah, I mean, some of it was just it wasn't a real good fit. Others were, I'm sorry, nice idea, but you missed the deadline for submissions. There were a few people that's like, oh, I'm thinking about doing such and such, and it's, well, let me know when you figured it out, and they never got back to me. So I'd have to say, given the resources that we have, I don't think we could do more than we're doing this year. More than 100 hours it would be just insane.
Might have to relocate to Vegas in 2016 then.
Well, you know, it's kind of a Michigan tradition. And it's been around. I don't remember exactly how many years, but I think it's about 12 or 13 years that this has been going on.
Oh, wow. Well, then why haven't I been there yet? It's just because, okay, was it 2012? Yeah, 2012 was last year I went to OLF, and that was the year where they had the Comic-Con in the same hotel, same weekend. So, you know, we're walking out of a hotel room, you know, going to talks, and all of a sudden, you know, the Avengers walk by.
I remember that one.
Yeah. It's like, this is interesting. How did this happen? So if it weren't for that experience, I might listen to this and go, does it really fit? But yeah, I mean, it totally fits.
Yeah. And, you know, if PenguinCon is a place where you can see someone from Red Hat doing cosplay.
Nice.
And, you know, that's got to be worth something, right?
Of course.
Something,
of course.
Yeah. I'm also a little bit scared.
Yeah, well, you got to get the photos for the evidence later and or potential blackmail paraphernalia.
Oh, the photos do get taken. There is a Facebook event, and they do put photos up on the website. And the website is at penguincon.org. And, of course, right now, if you go there, you'll see photos from previous years. But, yeah, there's always lots of stuff going on. So
very cool. You'll have to check that out as well. And just as a reminder, that's April 24th through 26th.
April 24th through 26th. It's in Southfield, which is a suburb of Detroit. And it is in the Westin Hotel that's on the Southfield Freeway.
And how much is there an admission charge or any sort of
registration charge? Yeah, and I think for the whole weekend it's like $50. Where can I? Oh, there we go. I just found the registration link. I think it's at the door is $60, but if you register online prior to April 1st, it's $50. So it's kind of a sliding scale. What I usually do, they allow you, when I was at the PenguinCon of 2014, before I left the event, I registered for 2015. And, so I think I paid $30 or $35, something like that. And then, you know, it goes up. And you can buy a day pass as well, if you don't want to be there for the entire weekend.
Well, even you know, for the whole weekend, you know, that's still kind of a bargain as far as entertainment goes. If you really do get your value out of each day and make sure to plan it accordingly, that's, I mean, per hour, that's still quite cheap.
Oh, absolutely. It's a bargain. And, you know, I've always, like when I would go to Ohio Linux Fest, I would always make a contribution. So it ends up costing about as much either way. And I plan to be at Ohio Linux Fest again this year. I did see Dor there last year, but somehow, Cody, you didn't make it.
I know. I haven't made it the last 2 years, but I've already got the money set aside and I'm committing to going this year.
Right. That's good because I'm going to be there and I'll be looking for you.
Well, I just might buy a kilt and then that way you can identify me even quicker.
Yeah, that's right. And so you can join me and Lord D in the kilt brigade. Great.
But if we're going to be a trio, we're going to have to get some sort of an act that we'll be able to do on cue and trumpet. So we'll work on that on the side.
All right.
Cool. So in closing, Kevin, what else can we talk about? PenguinCon, or what else would you like to add that we haven't talked about already?
That was basically the thing I wanted to do, is just get the word out, because I think a lot of people didn't really know about it. And if you're in the Midwest and, you know, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, whatever, it's, you know, that's not that far to go. So if Ohio Linux Fest was something you could plan on going to, this is something you could plan on going to equally well. You know, you'd have a great weekend.
Very good. Well, I'll definitely try to make it next year. If it mm-hmm. didn't conflict with Northwest, because I live in the Northwest, so it's literally just, you know, a few hours away. Not too bad, but it sounds like one heck of a time, and I would like to travel a bit more and then get out and do some fests. I'm trying to. Well, Doors coming out from Northwest. We'll talk about that later in the show. So mm-hmm. we're starting to take this operation, you know, countrywide, worldwide.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming on, Kevin. Yeah. Would you like to sit in with us and for the rest of the show? We do have some good topics we'll speak about.
Yeah, I think I'm going to move along because I got to get up at 6 a.m. So.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much again. Please, once again, penguicon.org. Right. Visit that for any further details, and you'll be able to mm-hmm. see Kevin there along with everything on the itinerary. And right. Kevin, thank you once again very much for coming on to the show.
Yeah, and, you know, if you come out next year, maybe we can get you on as a guest on Sunday Morning Linux Review.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I could put a foot on one of the legs of Matt's chair so he may not fall over this year.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, at least the lights will be on.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
2 years ago, the lights kept going out in the middle of the recording.
I remember hearing that, yeah. I think it's just Matt's ego taking up too much air in the room.
Okay, on that note,
there we go.
That's a good friend of mine. I will leave you, and thanks for letting me come on the show, guys.
Of course, anytime, Kevin. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right. So good to hear from Kevin again. And that does sound like one heck of a time door.
And I think I'm like you. I don't know why. Okay, let me rephrase that. I know why, but I never heard of PenguinCon before it came out of Kevin O'Brien's mouth or keyboard. Whatever social circles I'm in, whatever Google Plus bubble I'm in, whatever, I've never heard about it. And they need someone like him to actively go and promote in, let's say, places in non-traditional places that they usually promote, because I never even knew it existed.
Yeah, and come on, us being the rock stars that we are, if we haven't heard of it, I mean, come on. How big could it be, right?
I don't know, 1,400 people.
No, that's huge. Yeah, I couldn't believe it had been around for that long. Because, I mean, when you think of the big fests, obviously OLF scale, you know, Northeast was, and Northeast may not have been as big, but he had very good advertising for the years he did run it. Mm-hmm. And, I can't wait to make it out, because it does sound like one heck of a time. So any of you within the area, even if you can't make it this year, we're still, about 5-6 weeks out for that?
Yeah, roughly.
Plan for 2016. Go on the website now, though. See what you can find, and hopefully they get some of those talks up. Because I would, yeah. When he said Bruce Schneier, I do remember recently. Did you see the footage of Bruce Schneier at the at one of the NSA kind of open talks?
No.
The NSA was it was several government agencies. They had the head of the NSA interfacing with the media and the public. It's kind of like a Q&A. And all of a sudden, Bruce Schneier stands up.
Berners-Lee.
What?
I think it was Tim Berners-Lee that you were referring to.
No, it was Bruce Schneier.
You sure? I thought it was Tim Berners-Lee. Yeah. Asked the head of, what was it? Was it NSA? Where he was asking about security?
Yeah. It was Bruce Schneier. Yeah, because I saw the screen cap too. Because anyway, I'm getting off topic. It was great. But yeah, if you don't know who Bruce Schneier is, definitely check him out. Very, very smart man. Love hearing him talk about security, and with the landscape being as it is right now, any knowledge he can impart on you and anything you can implement from him into your day-to-day, it's just going to make you that much safer of a user. I am at fault for this, so don't blame Door. I want to apologize. We're putting off the announcement of the Ubuntu phone giveaway one more show, and it's completely my fault. I'm still reviewing the device, but we're definitely going to do it on our next show, which will happen a week from today. So we're going to do a comprehensive review on our next episode, announce the giveaway, and then Door, unbeknownst to me until I saw, okay, here's how big of a fan of this show I was before I got on it. I don't know about you guys, but I love just seeing episodes pop up in the feed, even if it's a show I've been on. I don't listen to those because I already lived it. But Door didn't tell me that he was going to do an independent episode by himself about the microcomputers that he spoke about. And when I saw that pop up in my feed, it was like I was taken back to 3 years ago. And I was all giddy, downloaded it, listened to it, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, I already had them all unhooked and in a box, and I was going to take them into work and show a couple guys. And then I came home and I said, I got to somehow just document these before putting them all, hooking them all back up. Because literally, all of them are right now hooked back up except for the original Banana Pi, the original Raspberry Pi. Everything else is now physically connected to a monitor, a network connection, and it's doing stuff like right now the chat is on the Banana Pro running Debian right now. The Qbox is on the side with my docs opened up. The NUC I have over here just doing a little bit of network monitoring while I do the show. ZBox, everything's connected except for those two.
It was a very good episode. I can't honestly remember, but if you didn't ask the folks to send in an email on their thoughts of that episode, I would urge the listeners to do so, because it's something that Door is very passionate about, that I'm very passionate about, these microcomputers. I have a few myself, but it doesn't pale in comparison to Door's collection. And it seems like every week there's a lot of news revolved around not only the devices on the market, you know, whether it be new distros, new things, new cases, things like that of that nature, but also just brand new boards nearly every other day. I mean, several per month. So it seems to be an ever-growing market. And if you liked hearing Door speak about it, please send an email to Door. What is your direct email at podus.com?
Just go to mail at podus.com is the easiest way.
There you go. Just send an email. Let us know what you thought of it, because I got to tell you, I really liked the episode. And let him know what maybe you thought, not only thought of the episode, but please share with us if you own any of those devices and what you're using them for. Because it really, there is no limit. The limit really is your creativity, because there are so many different things you can do with these. And I know I've done some cool stuff with some of mine, but we'd really like to hear what you guys are doing with your microcomputers now or planning to do in the future. Mail at podus.com. We would appreciate it.
Yeah, and I would say we're going to technically cut this show short, because something was going on to where YouTube was not broadcasting this correctly. I don't know what's going on, and I'm afraid that my backup is not being backed up. But there's literally over 14 links I'm not bringing to this show that are all microcomputer related. And this is what I'll say. There's literally more in the side bin. It's not even in the section of notes. If you guys, I don't want to overwhelm this podcast with microcomputer stuff, period. If you guys think I should do a separate show, a completely different show, not Linux for the Rest of Us, on microcomputers, put that in the email. If that's something that you guys are interested in. Because I know, I literally have two show ideas every week kind of thing. And some of them I don't even mention, but this is the kind of one I honestly think there is plenty of content if people are wanting it. If they're not wanting it, then...
You're muted, Door. It was just for like the last half second. It's fine. Okay.
For some reason, when I synergy off to my other computer, I hit certain keys on the keyboard, my mic mutes.
First world problems.
Indeed. But and I will... Go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of shows that Door is thinking up to a day, if you're a fan of bacon, Podnuts Bacon, maybe a future show.
I would love to have an excuse. No, hon, I'm not buying all the bacon because I want to eat it. I'm buying it because I'm supposed to talk about it.
Any way we can justify that. Well, then we're also going to have Podnut Scotch.
Podnut Scotch. That's not a long show, let me tell you.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It could be a long show, but it's going to be end very awkwardly every week.
Very, very awkwardly, with the sound of my head hitting my desk or something.
Yeah, some snoring. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Well, since we're going to forego, well, the episode ran just a little bit long. We got some good information out of Kevin. However, we're going to go ahead and cut it short. So the very next episode that you do hear, we will be doing the Ubuntu phone giveaway. As a quick reminder, since we spoke last, obviously, Dor and I are still committed to going to Linux Fest Northwest. Now, whether you call them tag-alongs or fellow friends of the show or barnacles, however you want to put it, we've got a crew of people that are also going to be there with us directly. And Dor, would you like to tell them about the thing that we're renting specifically for the event?
Oh, well, this is basically harkening back to one of my dreams from a couple years ago with OLF, and that is we are literally renting a bus to take us there, because now we're up to, I believe, 8 people heading to the fest, and we're all coming basically from the same direction.
Yes, we're going to have a Podnuts van and or bus, and that's going to be taking several of us from the Portland Hillsboro area of Oregon right up to Bellingham. So, and it's going to be so loaded with tech. It's going to be such a fun ride there and back. I just can't wait. So if you guys are making it out to Linux Fest Northwest, please hit us up via email. Just send it to podcast@linuxfortherestofus.com. Let us know. Go to linuxfestnorthwest.org for details. It's happening the 25th and 26th of April. So two of the same dates of PangoCon, completely different parts of the country. If you can make it out, several Podnuts people will be there, myself and Dor included. It'll be a good time. We're not involved in any talks. We're just going to go hang out, and we're planning on recording some content for the feeds. We don't know exactly what we're going to do, but overall, it's going to be a good time. If you can make it out, we would love to meet you in person. And, please let us know.
Yeah, and I'll say, if you want to, the bonus to you guys, the listeners, of us postponing this drawing for the Nexus 4 preloaded with Ubuntu Touch is you have another week to enter the contest. If you go to podnuts.com/Linux for the Rest of Us Club, the link will be in the notes, you just join the club, you're joined to a newsletter, guaranteed no spam, you're automatically entered into every Linux for the Rest of Us contest ever done on this show going forward, period. You're entered. I will say also, if you want to be aware of when we start doing stuff up at Northwest Linux Fest, subscribe to, I want to say, twitter.com/podnuts. If we start doing any live broadcasting, that's where it's going to be announced at. Also say, still working on the cataloging of the creation of the next set of videos. The WordPress site is in development to where all the members are going to have access, all the club members are going to have access to that website. I have to wait to get $200 together, because it looks like I need to have a static IP for that domain to get a SSL cert for my hosting provider, because I do not want people to enter any passwords to a website I'm responsible for if the website's not SSL enabled. So I'm getting the money together for that. That will be done. The website will be up. Where basically I'm going to post my production of the next round of videos. You guys will have direct feedback to me. You can help influence me on how to do these next set of videos the best possible, and you are guaranteed access to the full set when they are complete at no fee, no price, no charge.
Very good. All right, Dor. Well, unless we have anything else to talk about this evening, where can we find you online?
The easiest is just to go to Google Plus, search all one word, Door-to-Door Geek, DORTODORGEEK, and you will find me.
Very good. And as always, please, I'm Cody Cooper. If you want to send me an email, send it to Cody, C-O-D-Y, at podnuts.com. Definitely enjoy your feedback. Several of you have been adding me on Twitter and Google+. I highly do appreciate it. I'm also starting up, I'm trying to buff up my social media presence, because I got to tell you, hearing via email from the listeners to the show, it really makes me, and I'm sure Dor can speak to this too, feel very proud of what we're doing here. And also, I'm always amazed at how many different people are not only consuming the show, but enjoying it and getting things out of it. So your correspondence with me along those lines really does mean the world to me. And because, I mean, I would sit and talk with this guy every week. I talk to him almost every day anyway. But the fact that we get to record some of this and then distribute it out to you, and you guys and girls are getting good things out of it, it's just, it means the world to us. So... but I would say the correspondence I'm getting just based on the show is great, but also the conversations I'm having on through different social media outlets are also very rewarding and reaching different people. So expect to hear news from me soon on some things I will be doing individually or potentially helping Podnuts increase their social media presence in order to have more correspondence with the listeners with a variety of avenues. So thank you very much for all of that. As always, please visit our good friend Jonathan Nato over at the Accessible Computing Foundation, which is at theacf.tk right now. You could become a regular contributor to the Accessible Computing Foundation for as little as $2 a month. And that money goes into helping pay developers to develop software for accessibility and to help people with disabilities interface with computers who would otherwise be left behind by the technological future and not being able to interface with these machines. So it really is important, less than a Starbucks cup of coffee, you know, you're helping the people in the future. So we really do thank you for that. Also head over to sonargnu-linux.org, which is Jonathan's custom Linux distribution that is implementing a lot of this accessible software into a spin of Manjaro Linux, which you may be familiar with, in order to give these users a distribution to use right off the bat, to use a lot of this software, which is really good. Some good screen readers, and it's absolutely free. It doesn't cost anything to them. But if you go there, download it, or contribute, we also help their cause greatly. We do appreciate it. In closing, thank you very much one more time for listening. Can't wait to get to the next episode. I want to give away that phone. You guys are definitely going to want to hear what Dor thinks about that phone and what I think about that phone, because it's vastly different from what the conversation I've had with him so far. So stay tuned for that. And please do not forget that Linux is not just for the rest of us. It is for all of us. Good night.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.